pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Morning. Morning, County Board of Supervisors. Tuesday, January 23rd, 2024. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I haven't.
Have an agenda. Meet the department heads, elected officials. Sarah Doan, Boyne County Auditor.
Good morning. Just getting rooms and stuff set up for ISAC, so if anyone's going to ISAC, let me know if you need to stay both nights, one night. I've heard back from some. Other than that, finishing up budget stuff, getting things going in the office, staying busy as usual.
Congress IT.
Just keeping busy like always. Nothing really new to report.
Thanks, Colin. Kevin Glendinning, Boyne County Sheriff.
Good morning. We got our contracts finalized with all of our three contract towns, Mediapolis, Danville, and Middletown. Mediapolis was last night, and we got that approved. The city council up there had nothing but good things, and we're happy to continue with that contract. Same with Danville, that was last week, and Middletown was the week before. So those should all be coming your way. I actually have one of them with me now for Middletown to leave with Sarah for you guys to put on the agenda for next week, but we should see all of them coming in the next week or so. Other than that, we're staying busy. Shane and I had the 911 board meeting last week. We made some headway, I think, on the radio project. Just kind of figuring out how to make those allocations and the best way to spend the dollars that we have available and to improve the radio system. Our jail is at 76 adults, 78 when you count some juveniles, but we have about three, maybe four, planning to go to Oakdale on Friday. So we should see that number come down as long as we don't have too many arrests in the meantime.
76.
76, yes.
How many out of town, escape out of county?
Eight out of county, and that does not count, that's eight adults. So we still have the two juveniles.
The juveniles are in a different budget.
Yep.
I apologize.
One of those juveniles appeared yesterday and pled, and I believe was sentenced. So we expect court paperwork to come.
He's going elsewhere?
Yeah, he should be shipped out here soon, so.
And the cost is $50 a week to house the adults and $190 a day, $190 a day for the juveniles.
Yeah, and Henry County went up to $60. We have a couple that are there. It's always a challenge. Like right now, we can hold 68 for more than 24 hours. Right now we're at 67, and we try to shift them around, but sex offenders have to be housed differently. Females obviously have to be housed separately. So it's always trying to find the right balance of those numbers and which unit to put them in. So there's always that constant challenge of trying to shuffle them, but we have some breathing room right now, and when we have three or four going out at the end of the week, that really helps.
Some years ago, there was discussion of the jail administrator's garage.
Yeah. Better improve it.
He never got back to us on that.
I was going to say, Doug never got back to us.
You could look into Barn on the Ridge.
Yeah. I think we all agree that gym remodel would be the right choice.
Thank you, Sheriff. Jared Lassiter, Land Use.
Morning. I don't really have much to go over. I think with all the weather lately, people have been keeping quiet and doing any kind of improvements. So we just have a minor subdivision on the agenda today, and I don't have anything else to report.
Thank you. Ken Heinemann, Mental Health Agency of Southeast Iowa.
Good morning. Still waiting to see legislation come out for the new behavioral health system that the governor's been talking about. So we thought it would come out this past week, but it hasn't come out yet that I've seen. I have seen HHS send out some district maps, which if this were to go through, it would go from like our 13 county region would look like an 18 county district. And I don't know what all that would mean. You know, behavioral health and substance abuse would be combined and it would be different. So we're waiting to see what how different it would be when we see the legislation. That's all I have right now.
You'll have to reach out to Bob Lincoln and find out how it is to operate a region that large.
Yes, that's right, that's right.
Thanks again. Shannon Prado, Emergency Management Director.
I have been keeping busy also with budgets. I've been getting my classes out of the way that I have to for the state. I'm working on the BRIC grant, which is the hazard mitigation grant that goes along with the updating the hazard mitigation plan. Something I did want to talk about was I did get our weather spotter class scheduled for next month, February 20th, from 6 to 8 p.m., and that will be at the Capitol Theater. The National Weather Service comes down and teaches us how to look at clouds and look at if a storm is coming, how to report it to DESCOM. So it's a good class. It's open to the public. Anybody 10 years and older can attend as long as you have an adult. So we're excited about that.
I attended one of those. It is interesting, even if you don't plan to be a weather spotter,
mm-hmm.
just to look around and have a little better idea what you're looking at.
Good knowledge to have, for sure.
Thanks, Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
Rodney Buesner, Maintenance.
Good morning. Just trying to keep up with the weather. The guys have done a pretty good job, so just want everybody to still be careful. I know yesterday was a lot of ice. Everybody anticipated that. Probably not so much today. Figuring everything was clear. You know, it's kind of a little deceiving. Obviously, you can see the ice yesterday, but with the rain, you know, some of the sidewalks and stuff looks clear, has that shine, because you think it's just the rain, but there is some ice out there. So just still be careful of that. Also be mindful of even some things above you, like overhangs of like buildings or, I don't know, garages and whatnot, even at home or some of the buildings around here, you know, there's icicles hanging off or some of the snow has moved down and kind of hanging over the edge. So just kind of be mindful of that. Keep an eye when you're walking down the sidewalk. If you see something overhanging, obviously you don't want to be underneath of that. But it's just one of those storms when we have that thick, slushy, wet snow. It just really stuck to some of the areas that you didn't anticipate it, where it usually doesn't stick to. And then froze up, and now it's starting to slide off. So just be mindful of some of that. Other than that, just keeping busy with a lot of different things.
Good advice, thank you. Krista Pogemiller, Public Health.
Good morning, we're also keeping busy. I want to thank Rodney and his team for coming over and helping us get our cars all dug out and getting the snow and the ice off. I know that was a lot of work and some tough days. It was pretty cold out there, so. We've had a new nurse and a new CNA start, so we are fully stacked again. So that's all that we have going on.
Thanks, Krista. Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. I'll lead in, I think, like I did a week ago. Thank you to our guys. It's been a mixed bag, but it's been a busy time. So I think every time you turn around, you're back to something else. And so, obviously, like Rodney said, there's ice. I don't think that it might have been a surprise in the morning to some, but it wasn't a surprise very long because they found it, and it's, I think it's worse today from everything I could tell than it even was yesterday. On the gravels, maybe I should say the pavements. I think actually we were on top of them yesterday. Actually, our pavements yesterday, it didn't take very long, and you could generally get wherever you needed to go, and they're pretty similar today. Maybe a little slushy slick in some places, but in general, you could get where you need to go. The gravels are pretty slick. I mean, I don't even know, I'm not sure there's great terminology to describe it, but be very, very careful if you have to be out driving on gravels, because I mean, it's pretty vicious out there. So the guys are out. They were out, worked yesterday 12 hours on the gravel. Well, everybody worked 12 hours yesterday. Motor graders were out, back out at 5 this morning. So were the trucks, for that matter. They did a lot of good yesterday. Unfortunately, it all coated back over. And there is, just as a heads up, there's rain tomorrow morning in the forecast. We're supposed to get another tenth of an inch of rain tomorrow about 5 in the morning. So and we're getting down to right around 32 degrees at night, 33, and I mean, most people look at that and they want to say that it's, you know, hey, it's going to be above freezing, but on gravels, it's just, especially at this point in the winter after the cold snap we had, it's a different world. The gravels, I've said it before, the gravels probably are sitting there with probably 2 foot of frost, if I had to guess, and they're kind of, we got snow down both edges, so the water can't get off the road, and even if it's not freezing on your driveway, your approach, your sidewalk, or even the road, a lot of times on the gravel road, it will go ahead and freeze because it's basically landing on a freezer, more or less, and it will freeze, and it did, and it is. So they're out, they're running. We got plenty of calls. We don't give anybody guarantees on when we'll be there. All the guys have miles to cover, a lot of miles to cover, and they're doing it as quick as they can. So,
Ryan, as long as we're on this subject, excuse me, but and I know you do this regularly. You want to go through why we don't put salt and other materials on
sand.
Gravel roads?
Salt,
yep, sand.
Had that call this morning a couple times too. Well, the long-term answer to that is that the salt will work its way into the actual gravel road and turn it to a gigantic mess come springtime, if not before. So it's actually really, really bad on the long-term life of the gravel road itself. Honestly, it's hard on pavement too. It doesn't obviously turn it to mush and everything, but it certainly doesn't help the long-term life of any pavement either, but we use it. Then you get into the economics of it. The fact is we have every body and every truck we have running pavements right now. And when they're done with that, they're gonna be starting, in fact, they were already starting to work on drainage on our pavements because we have places where there's a couple foot of water because they can't get off the road. So long before you even really get to the whole, it's bad for the road, and it is. It's not good for a gravel road. We've had spots where somebody decided to try to help themselves when they were stuck, and they dumped a 5 gallon bucket of salt or whatever salt, you know, ice melt stuff they have, and come springtime, that spot will show up like a sore thumb because it'll change that road's makeup. But we don't have the bodies, we don't have the equipment, and our pavements have to be our top priority, and about the time you take a couple $250,000 plow trucks and put them on their side in a ditch and total them, and you can't get them replaced for another 18 months with the way equipment is right now, you then shortchange the other side of your system, which I think people appreciate the way our pavements are condition-wise. It's, and we don't have, you know, again, then you got to have the bodies to put in. And let's say you had an extra 4 plow trucks. Well, I don't have the bodies to put in 4 more plow trucks anyway. So it kind of all rolls together. There's a number of issues, and it's just really not a good equation no matter which direction you look. So
how about the sand? What's the sand do to it?
Sand won't hurt a gravel plane. We don't have plain sand at our facility. We don't keep plain sand. When we mix, we actually haul sand in and mix as we are filling back up. So we actually don't keep any plain sand at our facility. Yeah, you could put sand down. You could put sand down all you want. That won't hurt anything.
That's an economic thing.
It really becomes a logistic thing. You still... On ice, again, I said it last week, ice is kind of that equalizer. It doesn't matter how big you are, how small you are. When you start sliding towards a ditch, you keep on sliding. And sand, it's the salt that, or the chloride, either way, that hurts the road itself chemically. As far as the gravel goes, you could do sand, you could do rock, you could do whatever else. The problem is we don't have the bodies or the equipment to do it. So, and the way budgets are, I don't see that changing anytime soon. So you would never, if you were gonna do it, you would never run your regular fleet out there. You would have to have some spare trucks and maybe some spare bodies. And then when you've got mean, let's face it, over 400 miles of icy gravel road. We have, so we have 130 miles of paved road. And we run 10 trucks, you know, and obviously they stay on those all day long. But the other side of it is logistically, where are you going to start with that sand or that limestone or the rock or whatever you're talking about? Which hill's worse? Because you got four times mileage to cover if you're going to try to do something. So it just, when you really look at big picture, it doesn't, even though when somebody calls in and wants it, they're focused on one spot right there in front of them or underneath them. But your focus has got to be the entire system. So
the one part of your budget you didn't mention is the limitations. The Iowa code says you can get up to $3 out of rural services and up to 17 cents out of general basic. And we give you those amounts.
Yep.
The rest of it either comes from the state or you get 50% of the local option sales tax that have to be spent on projects or equipment.
Yeah.
If I'm correct.
I mean, we're very fortunate, actually. Not all counties give 100% of what they can out of those levy rates, and we're very fortunate that way. I'm biased, but I feel like we do a whole lot of good things with it. But you still have to, your overall makeup of your facility, no different than any other office. I'm sure there's a ton of programs Kevin would love to do, or any other department head would love to do. To some extent, what you do is a reflection of the manpower and the equipment and the finances you have.
In your case, it has to come from another part of your department.
Yeah. So, it is what it is. I mean, I know it's frustrating, but I mean, I think the overall positive of right now is that it doesn't look like we're going to be living with this for a month and a half. And I've seen that. I've seen us get ice and then sit with cold temperatures and not be able to do anything about it. If the guys can do, you know, from what I saw yesterday, what they did yesterday actually helped really well, which is not always the case. I mean, there's been times I've seen before where you ran a motor grader through on ice and you didn't know you'd even been there. I mean, it was that tight and that frozen. If it's as productive as it was yesterday, we can't get over all of our gravel roads in one day. But if we're as productive as yesterday, I mean, between today and tomorrow, depending on what tomorrow morning's rain does, because today's rain undid everything we did the day before, they will keep roughing up. But the other side of it is I think today it gets to 35, which with no sun is probably not going to do a bunch of melting, but it certainly won't freeze tight. Tomorrow's 35, but then we slowly gradually creep up. I think we're pushing 36 or 37 through the weekend, and then next week they actually have sun coming out and you're talking into the 40s and even pushing 50. Now at that point, of course, the ice calls will turn to mud calls or soft road calls. I mean, that it's an obvious progression that we're going to have, but the point being is at least with some time here between roughing them up and then the weather, we're going to come out of this where we're in going to end up with, and I think I said this last week too, I almost cringe worse about the way spring is going to, or late winter spring is going to turn out, because there's nowhere for drainage right now. I mean, there's just nowhere for drainage, and I'm sure there's people out there with roof issues or septic issues that are having the same thing. The roads aren't any different. The water right now can't do anything. There's just nowhere to go until we get some melt, until we get that, you know, until that stream of water finally starts making its way somewhere. I know we have pavements this morning that have a foot to 2 foot of water all the way across them, because it can't get into the intake. The intake's frozen. I mean, it's quite the mixed bag for the last, what has it been now, 2.5 weeks, or it all runs together. I mean, before all this, what, weren't we 50? I know there's places underneath the snow where there's no frost. I mean, we came into this with in a pretty mild condition. So hopefully the best case scenario would be some of this water and runoff can soak in, because we need the groundwater anyway, and it'd be better for it to soak in than to sit around and pond all that, so. But anyway, time will tell. The guys are definitely out, moving, and like I said, they'll cover ground. They'll do the same thing they did yesterday. It's kind of deja vu, and I do believe, though, it is on the gravels, it's a little worse today than it was yesterday. Yep, they're definitely out and about, and they'll cover ground, and you know, if we don't get a major setback, I would think from tomorrow morning's rain, I would think they'll have everything at least covered the first time sometime by tomorrow late morning, and then they'll go back and just start over again and just start trying to make it even better. But we were talking this morning, I think everybody's ready to get back to schools being in session and buses able to run and a little bit closer to normal life and stuff like that, so.
Thanks, Brian.
Yep.
Yes, anybody? Correspondence. Either of you gentlemen have any correspondence?
I have none. I have one from Corey Hill, who lives up on 125th Street, and I think he answered most of the stuff that I was going to address, but it's just about the roads. They're slick. You would like some sand. So anyways.
Yeah, that was a common one. Like I said this morning, there was at least a couple calls. Well, there's through the stretch of all this, long before we had ice, we had people demanding salt and sand. We don't do it, and we won't be doing it. So.
Wife and I went out and had dinner last night. I had a gentleman say, "Are you in charge of the roads?" And I said, "Nope, Tom and
change." Give him change number.
Told them two was in charge.
Good answer. I try to direct everything their way too.
That's great. That was good. Okay. So much for correspondence. We proceed to discussion and vote. We have payroll reimbursement claims in the amount of $185.55. Move to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
Okay, we have resolution 2024-6 approving the use of Des Moines County. What's a UI?
I don't remember what it stands for, but this is a number that Cheryl keeps basically for the entire county. I think I have so many things that I'm juggling right now, but I think this was linked to our FEMA deal.
Correct.
Okay, and it's a FEMA thing, and they wanted the road department, they thought we should have our own UEI number, Becky got a hold of Cheryl, we talked about it, and Cheryl said it was an absolute nightmare to get the one that we have, and recommended we just use it, I don't have a problem either way, so we're just gonna use it. This resolution, I think we have to provide to FEMA documentation that we're allowed to use it even though we're part of the county, so it's obviously perplexing, and it's yet another federal.
You're in a separate building, they say. So
yeah,
they want permission. So
that's all this is.
Conservation's going to need one next week as well. He asked me about it yesterday, so
yep.
Just put a heads up.
That's what she said. So anyway, this is you guys approving us using a number that the county already has.
Move to approve.
Second. Sarah.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Not this point FEMA.
And I don't remember what that acronym stands for, so either Cheryl has it or Sarah can get it in her office,
because
I don't remember. Becky kind of handled it with Cheryl, so. Unique Entity Identification Number. Thank you.
Thank you.
I know something.
Hey. I'm glad you know it.
Next time I'm gonna ask Shannon instead of you.
I'm good with that.
We have a resolution final plat for the first addition to the Logan Creek subdivision. I think that's you, Jared.
Yep.
So this is a kind of a misnomer in that it's not actually adding on to the land area of the original subdivision, but it's taking a piece of that one lot subdivision and creating another lot. So basically that's why it's listed as lot two. And I think I put lot one by mistake on the map, but at least it has the, is it correct on the plat itself. So anyway, this the Logan Creek subdivision happened in the late 90s. They split off a long rectangular lot on the north side of 160th Street, over 30 acres, and the owners subsequently built a house on the near the southeast corner of that lot off of 160th, and this subdivision here is meant to split off that house and the surrounding 6 acres and sell that so that can be sold separately from the remaining 26 acres. At the time I was understanding that when I first sent this out, I was understanding that this would be, they were planning to sell the remaining 26 acres at auction and keep the house. It sounds like they're actually going to be selling the house as well, but just selling that through a local realtor instead. In any case, the lot that's being split off here, there's no plans for any changes following subdivision. The other lot, the 26 acres, it's not clear whether that will be developed or not. It's obviously a large acreage of farmland, but conceivably they could build something on that in the future. So that's why we included a condition on the resolution, just acknowledging that if they were to build a house there, they'd need to have a septic system installed and permitted beforehand. Also, in terms of future access, the remainder of lot one will have about 140 feet of frontage along 160th, which is more than our minimum for subdivisions at 120 feet. So it's a little narrow, but it should be sufficient, and it does have its own entrance. So we are including another condition on there, just acknowledging that no new entrances will be allowed by the county going forward. But as it stands, both this lot two and the remainder of lot one already have a dedicated entrance going forward that they can continue to use. So with that, we would recommend approval of first edition of Logan Creek.
Thank you, Jim.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Stephen Campbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. We'll get these signed for you after the meeting, Jared.
Okay.
We have approval of a contract for Des Moines County Highway 99 Bridge, H14,
Yeah, I'm going to kind of summarize both of the next two items because they kind of run together. I've been referring to ARPA bridges for a long while now, since ARPA became a term, I guess, or at least a little while after that, once we knew our plans. That's what these two bridges are. I'm going to take the moment to give credit to my office staff. I think I way too easily overlook what they do and how much stuff gets done. You know, we talk about snow and ice, and when you actually have a project going on, it's easy to see that construction, but there is a ton of work, years of work that go behind the scenes of almost any project you see get done. And that doesn't happen without everybody in my office, and I mean everybody, to some extent, from beginning to end. And so while all this stuff's going on, we're talking about winter, they're cranking along trying to get things ready for this spring, this summer. We're already working on 2025 and 2026 stuff. And so credit to them. So what these are two bridges. The first one item D is the bridge on Highway 99. The second one is the bridge on Upper Flint. We've talked about these to a great length, but
this is the bridge to the far north end of 99.
Yes, the far north end. The last bridge on 99 that we haven't touched in some way. We've replaced all of them but one. One was a kind of a full-blown rehab type deal. And they need done desperately. Just because of their conditions, and we truly don't have the money in our other accounts to go after these, so I'm thrilled that this worked out. Yeah, that's, we don't know timing yet from the contractor. They're still, they'll be back in touch with us. I think the late start date for both of these is in June. I don't remember the exact date. So the goal is to have them both open before harvest. We had two bidders on each of these. So on this one, on the first one you're going, well, I guess that I'm going to recommend you approve. It's this one. The first one, the low bidder came in at $942,701.67. I know both of our main media folks are watching from home instead of playing on the ice, so I'm happy to send them this number if they don't get the audio well enough. And that came in just a shade under the engineer's estimate, which these days is a win. Compliments to our consulting firm and their estimates. Came in, just a little over 10 grand under the estimate. So I won't complain about that because I've seen them go a lot higher than that these days. And then since before we jump into the next one, I'll just tell you the second one's on Upper Flint. And it came in, the low bidder was $981,448.03. And that came in a little over $98,000 under the estimate. So all told, I think we were like 108 underneath the estimates between both of them. I think the total of both projects is just, slightly more. I want to say 20 or 30,000 more than what we project to have for ARPA funds available. So that's also, I think, a best case scenario at the moment. Now, as with any project, whether it be public health having a change order along the way of that construction project, which requires more ARPA money, or whether these bridges have a change order, which will happen between one or the other or both or whatever we want to talk about. Obviously, those numbers will change a little bit, but in the end, ARPA funds will cover a majority of these projects and we will eat up the balance out of our secondary roads budget. So I would recommend approval of both of these, and when I have a better idea of timing, I will let you guys know, and we will also send out some at least local residential letters. So that the locals know what's going on. There'll be signage when we do it and everything else. But
I move to approve the 99 Bridge H-14 LFM.
Second.
Sarah.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Now that you went over, I move to approve the Upper Flint Bridge, FR11, LFM.
I'll second that too.
Sarah?
Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Shane McCampbell?
Yeah.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
The nice thing about this is it's not going to cost the Des Moines County taxpayer anything. That's great.
It's
all infrastructure.
We would not have done both these bridges without the board making this commitment. They both need to be done. I would say both these bridges were probably not all that far off in their future from having to be posted, which they both are pretty major links. One is a pretty major link to the ethanol plant and to Highway 61, and the other is a major link to, whether you want to call it Tri-Oak up in Loiza County or whether you want to go to the elevators once you get south Meekers or even down to Burlington. They're both major links for the agricultural sector, so keeping these two from being posted are a really big thing. So they'll be inconvenient, they'll probably be closed for 3 or 4 months when we do it, but yet again, hopefully for the next 60 or 70 years nobody has to mess with it. So.
Well, 70 years from now I don't think too many of us will be around here to see, so.
Probably true, but we'll walk away knowing we did as good as we could have.
Call them, right?
We have a letter of support for the Mississippi River Parkway Commission for Iowa. The commission reached out to the board, asked us to look at the letter of support. So this goes to our local legislators. We are representing Des Moines County, writing in support of the Iowa Mississippi River Parkway Commission, which has been cited as one of the organizations for elimination and review by the governor's office
The Parkway Commission is a national organization which was started by Joe Young of Bellevue, Iowa, who outlined the Great River Road and worked with President Roosevelt to have the road achieve national designation in the 1930s. The route, which is on both sides of the Mississippi and has representatives from the 10 counties in Iowa which border the river, draws tourists from all over the world. Effective 2 years ago, the Great River Road now has the status of an all-American road, much like the Natchez Trace Parkway and the Big Sur Highway. This is a status designated by the Federal Highway Administration. To receive this status, the road must meet criteria for at least two intrinsic qualities that are nationally significant. The Great River Road meets all six and must have one-of-a-kind features that do not exist elsewhere, and it must be considered a destination unto itself. The efforts of the Parkway Commission were responsible for the identification, initiation, and completion of the required application and supporting items too for the Great River Road to receive this designation. With a small cost of $40,000 a year in budget, the Commission helped bring in $1 million in federal funding on a single project this year alone, the Cascade Bridge Project in Burlington, Iowa, as well as encouraging visitors along the east coast of Iowa to visit, learn, and stay. The success attracting tourism dollars to the 10 counties of Iowa's east coast are easily seen when the county on the river is compared to the next county to the west. The difference is quite dramatic. We understand the need to condense and simplify things at the state level and how some commissions do not function very well at all. The Iowa Parkway Commission meets on a regular quarterly basis, visits, promotes our interpretive centers, local tourism attractions, and provides the interface between the Iowa organization and the National 10 State Parkway Commission. All 10 county commissioners are governor-appointed volunteers who serve without compensation. We want to make sure you know and understand the history along the Great River Road, its national importance, and what the commission does for the state of Iowa regarding the road and its economic impact. Very truly yours, the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors.
Motion to approve the letter of support.
Sir.
Sarah.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brown.
I'm going to take a break and not say anything for a minute. Personnel actions for local health. We have Bridget Davis, a new hire, full-time nurse, effective January 16th, annual salary of $54,273.03. We have Inger McQuippen, a certified nurse aide, 20 hours unpaid, January 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 8 hours on January 8th, 2024. And we have Ingram McQuillan, a certified nurse aide resignation, effective January 16th, 2024.
I move to approve all three.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brooker.
Yes. reports. We have the clerk of courts report of fees collected in December 2023, the Dewey Buyer Trust. Both of these reports will be on file at the auditor's office and available for public review at your convenience. We have minutes for the regular meeting of January 16th, 2024.
Motion to approve minutes.
Second. Sarah.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. Results of Two Rivers Levy and Drainage District election. Like we have seven voters. Okay, we have a Brent Frank with seven votes for the trustee. I might not have those all together in the same order
okay.
That I got them in. Sarah, is there anything you want to add?
Vicki Stoller brought in her replacement to meet us the other day, Reed Wagenbach. Very nice guy. He's got a lot to learn, so he'll be sitting with her for quite a while.
I talked to Vicki. I met with her last week, and she's actually coming to our office this week for a little bit, and she was going to try to either come to a morning board meeting or reach out to the board individually and introduce you guys to Reed. And
she is going to bring him in next
okay
for the board meeting.
Talk to him about that.
She's kind of taking him around to places a little at a time just to kind of introduce him to people.
How long are they planning for that transition?
I think it's really
she's still going to stay in the office part-time, but it's going to take her a little while to get him trained on everything.
And I don't think Vicki's in a rush
she's
to get out. She's
rush
kind of scaled back to kind of sort of part-time as it is.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's a time period on it.
Good. There's anybody to learn from, it's Vicki, no doubt.
Yeah, and I think they know that. I think that board knows that, and they want to keep her as long as they can.
Yeah.
But it was important they started this because she's been talking about walking away for a while.
Okay, I would entertain a motion.
I move that we accept the results of the canvas.
Sorry. Sarah.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. Any other business?
I have none.
Committee reports. For future agenda items. Committee reports.
Community Action Board Directors. We had an audit, no findings. Community Action is doing good. At a landfill or a regional solid waste commission, we elected new officers and we had discussed a raise. I was locked in at 3.2. They were locked in at 3.8. And we had an E911 board meeting, and KG already brought that up, but we're looking to wrap this up so we can get our new consoles and radios, and I think we're in good shape to move forward with that. So make sure that we've got good communication. Was that 99? What percentage is that we want?
95% is the industry standard. And we're in the 70s.
So we're working toward that. We want to make sure that everybody can communicate for emergencies. It's important. So we had a self-reliance meeting, and that's not actually a board that I'm on for the county, but they're doing some things, and they want to coordinate with Community Action and with the Veterans Affairs. So it's just another arm, you know, in the community that wants to try to make a difference. That's all I've got.
I had a meeting with early childhood. We're kind of in the same position you are, Ken. You know, we were talking about behaviorals and all that, and that's what they're working on this session. We still don't know where we're at on that. We're for sure funding's going to be cut, you know, if we're going to get more funding. So,
yeah, a lot of people are being affected. Yeah. ADAs and early childhood. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're a little concerned on that. Some of them might fall through the cracks, but hopefully not. Hopefully these people up in Des Moines will see that we've got a problem, you know. So that's, I don't have any more to report on that, and we just have to wait to see what they pass up in Des Moines.
Well, I have none, so. Brings us to public input. If anybody from the public would like to address the board, you can email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com, that's board@dmcounty.com, or you can call 319-753-8203, extension 4, that's 319-753-8203, extension 4. We'll give you 2 minutes to initiate that email or that call. In the meantime, is there anybody in attendance that has any public comment?
Do we have final numbers on insurance premium costs?
For
budget-wise? For
ICAP? Or you mean health insurance?
Health insurance.
No.
The 31st.
Awful quiet out there.
Colin, Rodney, Brian, does next week work for closed sessions for your contracts?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
I don't know why it wouldn't.
Okay.
Gives you a week of the ice to melt, Brian.
Yeah. It's been good being here.
Bob didn't call in.
He only got 46 seconds left, though.
Bob was hoping we'd close the courthouse and didn't have a meeting.
Yeah.
He didn't want to get out on the ice, which I didn't blame him.
Well, I don't blame him a bit.
Probably the smarter way to go for him.
Yeah, I sold my driveway yesterday and it was solid. But you know that, didn't put enough on it. Still slick this morning when it backed up.
My driveway is still snowpacked. I mean, it's a gravel driveway on a gravel road, and the road itself was actually better than the driveway. That snowpack was just a complete sheet of ice. I had to drive kind of on the side where I have all the snow so I didn't slide off into the side. Just really, really slick on that snowpack.
Well, 2 minutes is up.
With an eye, we're adjourned.
All right.
We are adjourned. Y'all have a great day. We have a work session with Community Action and the Budget Director in about 5 minutes.